Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Chris Woodward, reporter for One News Now, who's taking Fred Jackson's place.
Yes.
So this is, we've got musical chairs going on all over the place here.
We do.
Yeah, and Steve Jordahl will be with us next hour, but Chris will be feeding us the news of the day for our discussion and for your learning and enjoyment, those of you who are listening. We also have on with us Ray Pritchard of Keep Believing Ministries. Ray, Pastor Ray, Dr. Pritchard, welcome back.
Hey, hello Ed, hello Chris, and hi guys from a beautiful, sunny, glorious, beautiful day here in Kansas City. What a day.
And Ray's going to be with us for the entire week except for Friday. Right. He's going to be helping us kind of man the news desk, as it were. Now, Ray, I got to say, now our listeners can't see. Now, I'm going to ask a question to Brent Creeley. Now, Brent, I'm going to give our listeners the opportunity. Might as well go ahead and do that. If you want to watch the program, you can go to either Facebook or YouTube, and you can watch us live. Just search for Today's Issues and click through. But now, if they tune in to watch, they won't be able to see Ray, will they?
No, they can't see Ray. They just see us sitting in the studio here.
Okay, all right. So that I explained that because, Ray, they won't be able to see. I want to know what the deal is with the elephants in your office at the house. You seem to like elephants. You got a poster or a picture or a painting there with elephants. I like it. It's got all these elephants standing shoulder to shoulder.
It looks like a herd of elephants is about to attack me from behind, you know? And a reminder, always keep your feet moving because the elephants are coming.
All right. I thought maybe it was a little bit more spiritual explanation than that. It just, to me, it looks like shoulder to shoulder, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, one united community.
Yeah. They have joined together and they're coming after me.
All right. Well, all right, Chris, go ahead and start us off because, wow, there was nothing really going on over the weekend.
Man.
And there's lots going on. So what's happening?
Well, major cities across the United States are bracing for another day of rioting, looting, burning, things like that, in addition to the protests over the death of George Floyd. Many cities today are imposing curfews to try to keep people off the streets and reduce the amount of damage that will be done today going in through the week, assuming, of course, that many of these riots and damaging demonstrations do resume. One of the big stories that we're following today involves President Trump. He plans to label Antifa as a terrorist organization. The reason being, a lot of people, experts, pundits, private citizens, believe Antifa is largely involved in a lot of the rioting, looting, and burning of various properties throughout the United States. And I want to do a little bit of sound here, Brent. White House National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien told Fox News Channel, "The White House stands with the protesters, not the people doing the damage." Clip one.
It's the violent Antifa radical militants that are coming out under cover of night, traveling across state lines, using military-style tactics to burn down our cities.
And one other clip to play, too, before we bring you guys in here. Speaking on Fox and Friends this morning, Dan Bongino, author, radio personality, he said known Antifa leadership is organizing the rioting, looting, and burning. Clip two.
This is not some run-of-the-mill criminality by people who have nothing to do on a Saturday night. Yes, there are some people there who are just there to cause trouble. This is a sophisticated insurrection-type attack. This is not a joke. These are known, identified members of what now is a terror group trying to take down the seat of our government.
Now, you guys have talked a lot about Antifa. They're well-known in Oregon. We're all kind of familiar with a lot of the damage and anarchy, really, they've tried to install throughout the country. I would, you know, say maybe the president's declaration or definition of them as a terrorist group is maybe a day or two late. Certainly, it could have been done a long time ago. But are you pleased to hear the Trump administration is moving in this direction?
Well, I am. I definitely think that Antifa has terroristic tactics and motives. I believe they are opposed to our system of economics, and they are opposed to our system of government. I think that they claim to be anti-fascist, but their tactics, right to me, seem almost to be right out of the Nazi playbook in terms of trying to create chaos with the early on the brown shirts.
Well, very clearly, Ed, what they're trying to do is to bring anarchy to America. It's a direct attack, not just on one small group. It's a direct attack, Ed, it seems to me, upon America, American justice, and upon the government of the United States. And I got a question here. For the president to say about Antifa, they're now a terrorist group, does that free up anything other than a paper designation? Or is there a legal ramification for calling them an actual terrorist organization, which, by the way, clearly is what they are?
Well, Chris, I think what it does is it opens up I'm sure the FBI has been watching them anyway, but I think it gives some additional weapons to law enforcement. The problem with Antifa, as I see it, is it's very dispersed in its leadership. So they don't have a headquarters, you know, in Minneapolis or in Portland. I think they kind of the genesis of that movement seemed to have been in Portland, Oregon. I don't know, half a decade ago or something. When there were some climate meetings there. But it's kind of dispersed. So I'm not sure that you can, like, go in and arrest the leader of it or freeze their assets if they're a terrorist organization, because I think its leadership is more dispersed than that. But it does mean that if that was to ever happen, in other words, Antifa winds up with a bank account, then you could do some things.
That's my understanding as well. One big problem with a lot of these people is they tend to wear masks. And I'm not talking about like the COVID-19 masks you might see somebody wear at Walmart or a grocery store or something like that. A lot of them have giant face coverings on, so you can't really make out that it's, you know, John Doe from Topeka or whatever. Participating in these things, but it does increase the penalty for them should they be arrested, detained, prosecuted, things of that nature. Talking about this being just kind of an effort to turn over things here in society, I want to do another clip here. Referring to the rioting and looting in recent days, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich told Fox and Friends this morning, this is a war against America. Clip 4.
These are not riots in a traditional sense. You have a nationwide group, Antifa is part of it, but there are other elements involved. And the federal government should be engaged totally in terms of the FBI and other assets to find out who's paying for it, who's organizing it, how is it happening, and frankly, to lock people up for a very long time. We should also go back and look at all the video we have, because a lot of these people are caught on camera setting a police car on fire, defacing the Lincoln Memorial, setting fire to a church that dates back to 1816. You know, civilizations have to protect themselves. And I think we're in a crisis in our country where we've got to decide, is American civilization worth protecting? In which case, we have to do whatever it takes to put down the people who would destroy our country.
You know, guys, the damage is, it's terrible to see this playing out on the news. But the church is just, like, my heart really goes out for those, the congregants or people that have been there, kind of hold it near and dear. That is one of the country's oldest churches, St. John's, there in the D.C. area. Just about every president that has been in office since James Madison has attended a worship service there, set on fire. I mean, you're talking about an American history gone.
Right. You know, Ray, the problem is, there's many problems. This is this situation we're in. There's a web of different ideas and crises here, a number of different things playing out. So we're not trying to oversimplify. But I will say this, Ray, when you have the kind of disrespect being shown, as Chris pointed out, this landmark, it's not ancient, but it, for our country it is, you know, this church being defaced and burned, and these monuments being defaced, spray paint, graffiti. I saw a number of these monuments in Washington, D.C., the pictures of it now. You're dealing with people who, and they may be a part of different types of groups that are now interacting and at odds and in agreement or whatever, but there really is a disrespect for our history and, I think, for the founding ideals, and obviously disrespect for Christianity that's tossed in here as well as kind of the foundational ideas, at least of some of these groups like Antifa.
Well, it seems to me, Ed, one of the worst things that happened was up at that police precinct in Minneapolis when they, I can't in my memory, because I can go back, I can remember as a young kid, but I can remember the riots of 1968.
Right.
And I don't think there's been anything as widespread since then as what's happened here in America in the last few days. When you have these looters, and we all understand there's peaceful protest,
right,
which is American. There is looting, gangsterism, thuggish behavior, breaking into the police precinct and setting in a fire. Could there be a more direct attack on the American government than that? Mm-hmm. I think we've got to see a stronger response. It seems to me the only way to bring this to an end is to call out the National Guard,
yeah,
or other elements or the Army to put the looting down, because I think it's going to get worse as long as they think they can get away with it.
And one of the things I would point out is, to me, that's a sign. What happened in that, I think it was Precinct 3, I think,
right,
in Minneapolis, that is a sign of weak leadership in the city of Minneapolis and in the police, mm-hmm, department. And how in the world, to your point, you ever let thugs burn a police precinct? Okay. Now we're not talking. That's why I said
how could that happen?
Yeah, you have to draw a line somewhere. And if I'm a citizen of Minneapolis and I'm sitting here thinking they're not even going to protect their police precinct, mm-hmm, what makes me think they're going to protect me? Okay.
Right.
So you have got to draw a line somewhere and say, listen, we understand people are upset, and that's why I'm saying there's all kinds of different issues at play here. So I'm not saying that, like you pointed out, that all protesters are engaging in looting. They're not. So you've got to draw a line somewhere. You've got to say, if you're the police commissioner, if you're the mayor, no. If you try to come in the third precinct, okay, you are not going to like what's going to happen. You want to protest over there?
You're taking your own life in your hands. If you're going to attack the police, you're going to go to prison, or you're going to go to the morgue, and there's really not anything in between.
That's right. And the protesters need to understand where that line is. And my understanding is there have been plenty of peaceful protesters who are kind of getting mixed up and actually are getting a little upset, mm-hmm, at some of the raw,
right,
thievery and thuggery that is going on, because it's making the protests look bad.
Let me just add one point, Chris, and then jump in here, because it just seems important to say Americans across the board, almost 100%, shocked and horrified by the video of what happened to
George Floyd. Yeah.
George Floyd, thank you. And I don't think anything has changed about that. I think Americans as a group, left, right, middle, across the spectrum, horrified by that. But can we just say this looting is now 1,000 miles away in terms of its impact? This is not about George Floyd anymore. This is an attack on America itself.
Yeah. Ray mentioned bringing in the military beyond just the National Guard there. One senator in favor of that approach is Tom Cotton from Arkansas. He was on Fox and Friends today, and he said the riots and the anarchy we've seen across the country have nothing to do with the death of George Floyd. Clip 3.
In Washington, D.C., they set fire to a historic church attended by every president since James Madison. They deface the Department of Veterans Affairs and the World War II Memorial, which honor our veterans. They defaced the Lincoln Memorial, a temple in which we remember the great emancipator. What the president can do is say that justice will be done in accordance with law for George Floyd, and we will always respect the right of peaceful protest, as many of these cities saw in the daytime. But the rioting, the anarchy, and the looting ends tonight. If local law enforcement is overwhelmed, if local politicians will not do their most basic job to protect our citizens, let's see how these anarchists respond when the 101st Airborne is on the other side of the street.
Now, Trump addressing the nation as far as what he can do, things like that. A lot of people, left, right, center, on social media, which is probably the worst place to go to right now in American society, is there, a lot of them are calling for him to address the nation, be it in a recorded message, a live message. But, you know, even then, that comes amid times that you have a lot of politicians and public figures saying he just needs to stop speaking. So, right. I mean, he faces he can't win.
He can't win. Right.
He really can't. But do you think he should address the nation?
Well, I at some point, maybe if it continues. You know, the problem with calling out the National Guard or calling out the 101st Airborne, with all due respect, is they're not law enforcement people.
Yeah.
What are you going to – how? And it may come to that. I mean, if you have absolute chaos and the police lose control and local government loses control, maybe you have to do that. But these, the 101st Airborne is not trained in law enforcement. Are you going to give them live ammunition?
Yeah.
Okay, are they going to be allowed to protect themselves? How? Are they going to be allowed – what are they going to do, go in with billy clubs? I don't think they have billy clubs. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You reach a level of the possibility of catastrophe if you have to resort to the National Guard or the U.S. military. And I'm not even sure the U.S. military is supposed to be having a law enforcement role except under extreme circumstances, which is what the Minneapolis Police Department's abdication of its responsibility, what makes it so egregious.
Yeah, you definitely risk a Kent State type
situation
from the early 70s. There's maybe a folk musician chomping at the bit to write a song about it.
Yeah.
Is there any difference, Ed, in what you said between sending in the 101st Airborne or any other group versus the National Guard, state to state?
I think the National Guard gets some training on keeping law and order in emergencies. So like when you have, you know, Hurricane Katrina, you know, the National Guard is sent in. I think they get a little bit of training, okay? But I doubt that the 101st Airborne does in terms of law enforcement. Because the reason why this is so important is that law enforcement, and Ray, I totally agree with the situation with the death of George Floyd. Now, I believe we should let the investigation run its course.
Sure.
But just looking at that video, I just think, what if that was my brother? What if it was my father?
Right.
What if that's my son? You can't have that happen.
Right.
You know,
it's horrifying. It's horrifying.
It is horrifying. Okay. So law enforcement, generally, I'm extremely supportive of law enforcement because the vast majority of them are diligent and they want to protect their communities. They're faithful to uphold the Constitution, those kind of things. But the law enforcement is trained in how to respond. If you've seen videos of confrontations a couple of years ago between Antifa and police are extremely restrained with these punk kids with their masks shouting and cursing the police and saying things. These cops show great restraint. I'm not sure 101st Airborne knows how to do that. I don't know. But
Okay, then aren't we really saying then in the end this is going to come back or should come back to either the governors or the mayors in Minneapolis, in Chicago, in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia, in Dallas, in Los Angeles, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't see any – that's their job. Their job is to protect the citizens. The mayor and the chief of police, their job is to protect the citizens of Minneapolis. They do have a constitutional duty to allow groups to gather for protests and redress of grievances. That's in the Constitution too, okay, First Amendment. So they do have to allow that, but there have to be some lines. And torching stores and looting stores have traditionally been crossing the line. It used to be if you're caught looting during a riot, you're shot. That was the old. I don't advocate that, but that was the law. Am I mistaken about that? It used to be if you're looting a store during a riot, you were shot by the police.
Right.
Yeah. I think this kind of gets lost in the shuffle. This has already been the absolute worst economic time for a lot of businesses, due to COVID-19 and the government's response to COVID-19. So a number of the stores that were already hurting because of the virus and the government's response to it are now having to pick up the pieces from possibly the government's lack of a proper response to the rioting and the looting, and they're the ones stuck trying to make the phone calls to get their insurer, if they even had one, to cover the cost of cleaning up everything. At the same time, the government's not getting that revenue in from the store that's impacted by sales.
You know, Ray, here's the problem with a local government, and I'm blaming the mayor and whatever the city council they have, the chief of police, whoever. I'm blaming them for allowing this to get to this point and escalating, because here's the problem. If they don't do their job, then store owners think, well, then I'm going to do my job, which is to protect my business. So I'm going down there with a shotgun, and anybody who tries to break in, I'm going to shoot them. Do we really want it to come to that? And what happens is if you have the responsibility to keep order and you don't do it, things escalate. And that is on the shoulders of the local government as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it seems to me, Ed, that the thing in Minneapolis got out of control, and that mayor up there, he has looked so weak through all of this, so weak. And I come back to the burning of the police precinct. How in the world, what kind of leadership in that city could possibly have allowed that to happen? That's not the, I'm not even saying it's the worst. I'm not in a position to judge what's the worst, but it's an obvious point that you have let your city go up in flames, including since we're talking major American cities, a great many minority-owned businesses have been torched by the looters. How can that possibly be justified?
And here's another thing that I would like to ask the mayor, George Fry, I think is his name, Jacob Fry of Minneapolis. Where will you draw the line?
Right.
If you don't draw the line at protecting the police precinct and allow these people to burn it, where do you draw the line? Where do you say, okay, you cross this line, you're in trouble? Okay, where are you going to draw the line? I'll leave it to Jacob Fry, the mayor, if he wants to say, well, the line where we're going to draw it is this street and that street. You can't go past that. I mean, if I'm a citizen of Minneapolis, I'm in fear right now because I don't know where the line is, and they might come to my neighborhood.
Right.
Talking about Antifa and the violence that's been spreading in some of our major cities.
Yeah. Did you guys see the stories last week, at least late last week and over the weekend, how he had ordered a lot of law enforcement entities and whatnot to stand down, just, you know, don't get involved, let the people, let this run its course, things like that. And then there were the stories of how he was urging people doing the protesting and the rioting and whatnot to wear masks to combat the spread. That was not an Onion or a Babylon Bee story.
Oh, that's hard to believe.
Let's not spread the virus. Pay no attention to the fact that people are no longer sheltering in place. Now we're going to have, if you're going to be out doing these things and being an anarchist, be sure to wear the mask because we don't want to spread the virus.
Oh,
so he has gotten involved, but not in ways anyone would want him to, maybe even the people that put him in office.
Listen, we have said many, many times on this show, elections have consequences, and you get the government you deserve.
Right.
So Minneapolis, how's that working out for you? I know it's a liberal city, and you've got a very, very liberal mayor, but are you glad this morning that Jacob Fry is your mayor and your city's burning? Regardless of the injustice, that's a whole nother area to talk about. How in the world did a policeman sit with his full weight and a knee on this guy's neck? How did that happen? That's a whole other thing to consider. If I'm a citizen of Minneapolis, I'm going, I don't like this guy, and I don't like where his poor leadership has led us. So, anyway, that's our 2 cents on that. That and 25 cents will get you a Diet Coke and out of our machine right around the corner. All right, we're going to take a two-minute break, and when we come back, we'll have more of today's issues. Hope you will join us for that.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Yes, we're going to talk about the trouble that we have in our country right now. But actually what happened on Saturday with that launch has the ability to have greater repercussions, greater impact on the future of this country and of the world than any of the riots taking place right now.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. There is great unrest in parts of the nation. Minneapolis is burning, stores looted, rioting in the streets, buildings on fire. It was so bad the police chief told his officers to stand down. Rioters were throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails at anyone wearing a uniform. In Los Angeles, an angry mob swarmed police cars, smashing windows, blocking traffic. Outrage across the country in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd. The video of the police officer with his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck. The anger is understandable, but the violence is not. The police officers have been fired. The FBI, at the request of President Trump, is investigating. The system is working. Justice, I believe, will be served. But burning down city blocks is not the answer. Looting minority-owned businesses will not fix the problem. Protest, yes. Demand justice, absolutely. But not this. It's time to tell the looters to stand down. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Chris Woodward, one of our reporters for One News Now, onenewsnow.com. And then Dr. Ray Pritchard is joining us. He'll be with us here all week. Chris, tell us first about One News Now and what that is, why we do it, how people can get kind of connected right to One News Now.
Yeah, thanks for asking. OneNewsNow.com is the print version of American Family News. So the radio newscast that you hear at the top of every hour, that's American Family News. Where a lot of those stories end up in print is at our website, OneNewsNow.com. In addition to staff stories, myself, Chad Groening, Charlie Butt, Steve Jordahl, Rusty Pugh, and other folks, you will see a lot of Associated Press content. We've got wonderful columns from Dr. Michael Brown, Alex McFarland, a number of people, Ben Shapiro. Also, we have political cartoons. And then one of the really popular sections is Associated Press videos. Some of them are hard news stories. Some are soft news stories. And these days, everything pretty much is hard news. But we like to think of it kind of as a one-stop shop. You get staff stories. You get Associated Press stuff, like I mentioned. There's a ton of content there. So what you don't hear on the radio may be on the website and vice versa. There's a lot of stuff on the website that's exclusive to OneNewsNow.com that doesn't wind up on the radio.
And the thing is, now to sign up, they can go to OneNewsNow.com.
Yes.
And the bad thing about OneNewsNow.com, though, is that we just inundate people's mailboxes with tons of every day, five, six, no, we don't. Yeah. Once a day.
Once a day, yes. And you'll hear, I mention this a lot at the end of newscast. We try to mention it as much as possible. It is very popular. On our website, you can sign up for our free daily email news brief. Jody Brown and Billy Davis, Melanie Manning, the great editing team here we have at our website, they get together and throw in the big stories of that day. And at some point during the day, you will receive an email. So you don't even have to go to our website, really. You'll get it to your inbox, and it'll be the five things you need to know, similar to what you might see from a USA Today or CNN, albeit with a Christian perspective, which I should mention, onenewsnow.com. Like American Family News is news from a Christian perspective.
Amen. All right. Take advantage of that, folks. Onenewsnow.com. You can sign up, and just once a day. That's what I really love about it. They're not going to pester you with, you know, with one thing after
another.
And
no paywalls.
No paywalls. That's right. Not on our stuff. That can be frustrating when you go somewhere.
When the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write Colossians 3:8, Paul was frustrated by a paywall that the Romans had put out there.
The scripture's not behind a paywall.
Right.
Paywall. Yeah. I like that. All right, that's good. All right, Chris.
Well,
what else we got?
Speaking of a Christian perspective, I did want to throw this in there. We didn't get to it in the first 30 minutes or so. But the subject of what would Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. say and do about the recent events we've seen in Minneapolis and other parts of the country, Atlanta as well, that was a subject that was brought up today on Fox and Friends, and they brought in his niece, Dr. Alveda King, to see what she would think her uncle would say about this. Clip 5.
I believe that Martin Luther King Jr., the prophet, would speak to us as he did during his lifetime. You can hear his speeches, his sermons, and I'm paraphrasing here. Prophet King said, "We may have come to America on different ships, but we're all in the same boat now." Acts 17:26, we are all one blood. Of one blood, God made all people. So we're all human beings. And Prophet King said, we must learn to live together as brothers, our lady sisters, or perish together as fools. We're not living well when domestic terrorists are stealing, killing, and destroying in our communities.
Ray, what do you think about that? She mentioned some scripture there.
Well, she's exactly right. Great quote from Dr. Alveda King. Acts 17:26, he hath made of one blood, meaning that though there are differences outwardly, culturally, heritage-wise, language, skin color, all of that. And everybody can see the differences in the human race, but we are all made by the hand of God. We are all made in God's image. There is more, at least there ought to be, more that unites us than divides us, because if you are made in God's image, I ought to love you, I ought to respect you, I ought to care for you, and I ought to believe that you will love and respect and care for me, even though our language, background, and heritage can be very different. If we could get back to a Genesis 1 understanding of humanity, we'd have a basis for building a society that could survive the hardest of times.
Well, and Ray, let me just kind of throw this out there, and don't want to chase rabbits here, but, you know, the left has kind of, sometimes, well, it does. It sometimes steals things that should be in the camp of the Christian, okay?
Right.
So the homosexual movement's kind of stolen the rainbow, made it, you know, a symbol for this over here. The rainbow ought to have remained in the Judeo-Christian camp since it comes from the book of Genesis. So let me just say this. We should celebrate diversity to this respect, that I like Mexican food. I kind of like Mexican music when I go in a restaurant. I like some of the colorful, you know, dress from, you know, the Mexican community. Just speaking in general, I'm not saying that every Mexican person wears bright colors, but there's nothing wrong with saying they're made in the image of God. Culturally, they're different. I celebrate that difference. That should be a Christian idea, because we see at the end of the book of Isaiah and the end of the book of Revelation, we see in a sense, and I don't want to get overly theological here, where cultures bring what honors God into the kingdom, and we should look at people who are different culturally and say, I like that. I like what they're doing over there. I can celebrate it. I don't have to be that. or I don't have to necessarily, right. you know, do that. But I like it. I like what I see. I think that honors God too.
Well, you're exactly right. This is a point the late Ravi Zacharias often made. Before him, Francis Schaeffer made the same point. Chuck Colson made the same point, that it is in the gospel that there is real possibility for unity amid the surprising amount of diversity in the human race. If we, in the gospel, there's a way to say, God loves you, God loves me, he doesn't favor one over the other. God was infinitely creative when he made the human race, and it is in the gospel that we find the basis for human dignity and respect. And the fact, as you said, you can have many different kinds of people living together in respect and love and mutual admiration. There's an equality under God, even though we are not identical in our preferences, our backgrounds, our culture, and our heritage. I mean, there's a lot. Again, we don't want to go too far away from it, but the gospel, we've always argued that the gospel is the basis for human respect and dignity, never needed more than in our day.
Amen. That is a good word. Thank you. That's Dr. Ray Pritchard, by the way, folks. I'm glad he's on our team. So, all right, Chris, you got a couple of preachers here. We're liable to go off and just talk gospel the rest of the show. Let's come back to the news.
Got you.
Unless you have something you'd like to add.
I did have one quick question, and I know that's kind of a loaded topic, but I don't know where this came from. I've had conversations with people who are Christians. They profess to be Christians. They got saved at this place or that place or what have you. And I've even heard people that profess to be Christian say things like the white race and the black race or whatever race. Is that some sort of like Darwinism thing that has crept into the church? Like,
well, now I'll say this. Dr. Alveda King hates that message. She has dedicated her life to saying, listen, we are one race. Mm-hmm. Ray, to me, the Bible talks about nations and kind of cultural groups.
Right.
I mean, there were Thracians, there were Cretans, there were Greeks, but amongst the Greeks, they thought of themselves as being different. There were Greeks from Athens. They were different from Greeks than Greeks from Sparta.
Sure.
There was an attitude of, if you're not Greek, you're a barbarian. The Romans kind of had that idea. And to your point, what the Bible says is that before God and in Christ, those distinctions disappear, not that you're no longer in the natural Greek or from Gaul, but before God, you are equal and you are loved. There's no Jew or Greek. In other words, God loves Jews and Gentiles the same in Christ. So there is that kind of message that there is one race, there may be different cultures, different nations is really the way the Bible talks about it. But again, to your point, in Christ and through the gospel, those differences do not disqualify anyone from the grace of God.
Not much to add, Ed, other than to say amen. And there is one race, the human race, right? And from God's point of view, in the ultimate eternal sense, you're either saved or you're lost, right? That's the great dividing line of humanity, not the color of your skin, mm-hmm. not your culture, not your language. The great dividing line is, do you know Jesus Christ or not? We used to say, and we still should say, we are all equally made in the image of God. We are all deeply fallen. We are all greatly loved by God, and everyone is able to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those are four great biblical truths we need to hold up. Made in the image of God, deeply fallen, greatly loved, and able to be redeemed. Again, goes back to my point. Mm-hmm. The gospel is the one true lasting basis for unity and love and respect amid the great diversity we see in the human race around us.
And let me just add this one thing too. For those who are, you know, say, people ask me, say, well, do you see color? And I say, well, of course I do. Okay. If a person is black, I don't ignore that. God created them black. God created me kind of a pasty white. Okay. So I don't not see it. I hope that through the gospel and through the love of Jesus, I treat a man that I see who is black the same as I would anyone else. And let me just say this. In America, okay, now everyone probably knows by now, if they've listened at any length of time, I'm half Italian, half Greek. I'm guessing that culturally, I have more in common with a black American than I would culturally with an actual Italian from Naples.
Mm-hmm.
And I am guessing that black American has more in common culturally with me than he would someone who shares his skin color from Uganda. So culture a lot of times is what we are actually seeing and maybe should see. I don't want to take this into these kind of deep waters. I'm not really equipped for it. But Christians need to be careful that we don't allow things like skin color or even culture to dictate how we treat people. Christians should love all people if they're culturally different, if they have different skin color than us, different nationalities, different socioeconomic statuses. You know, the New Testament makes clear we should not treat rich people any better than we would someone who's poor, even in our own congregations. I think James says this is an evil to do those kind of things. We're prone to breaking ourselves up into different camps and treating people according to those rather superficial differences. Christians should be the first ones to say, through the gospel and through the love of God, everyone who may be different than me is also loved by God, and I need to reach out to them with the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I told you we could run into that problem with two preachers on the program. So, all right, Chris, bring us back to murder and mayhem.
Yeah, well, how about this? Transitioning to another form of the word race, that meaning an actual contest where people run from point A to point B to try to win a trophy. For a long time now, we in this country have had there's been an issue playing out in states where some states are okay with biological males competing against female athletes in women's sports, okay? Lions Defending Freedom is no stranger to this issue, and ADF has for a long time now been representing three female athletes in the state of Connecticut. They're in high school, and they say it's unfair to them to have to compete against biological males. These males say they're transgender, okay? They identify as a woman, therefore they think it's more fair to them to compete against girls for women's sports. But as a result of the biological females competing against the boys, the girls are losing to these boys in terms of races, scholarships, things of that nature. And ADF has been representing them in a case against the state of Connecticut and the Interscholastic Athletic Association, or whatever it may be called. The reason I bring this up is because late last week, the Department of Education issued a letter to Connecticut saying, hey, this policy of allowing boys against girls is not right. You need to change your policy or you risk losing federal funding over what's called Title IX. That's the thing put in place decades ago to ensure women have fair and equal treatment in athletics. I bring this up because, like I said, ADF has been representing this case, and the Department of Education has given Connecticut until later this week to change their policy or risk losing their federal funding. Just to add some perspective here, from the legal perspective, I want to do some sound here. We've got ADF attorney Christiana Holcomb. She's the one representing these female athletes, and Christiana says it's not fair to female athletes to have to compete against biological males. Clip 6.
Anytime you allow a biological male to compete in the girls' category, he has an intrinsic physiological advantage. We know from both common sense and from science that males are generally bigger, faster, stronger. They've got bigger lungs and hearts and stronger muscles, denser bones, all of which together gives them a physical advantage over their female competitors. And so that's the whole reason Title IX was designed to provide girls with equal athletic opportunities with males. And so when you allow males to compete in the girls' category, you're fundamentally destroying that level playing field.
Now, you know, Connecticut is on the clock as to whether or not they're going to change their policy. They may say, no, we're going to see you in court. And then, of course, at some point, we'll probably get the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in on this, albeit temporarily. But what do you guys think?
Well, Ray, I think it's just ridiculous that we've come to this place, but we have. Thanks the Lord for groups like Alliance Defending Freedom, who won't let states like Connecticut just simply get away with this insanity. But even if you change, sometimes people who defend these boys who identify as girls and want to compete mm-hmm. in girls' athletics, sometimes they'll say, well, they're lowering their testosterone level. The problem is that if you've lived to 16 or 17 years old as a young man, as a male,
right.
your body has already developed to the point where you have advantages in heart size, lung size, muscle mass, and testosterone's not the only thing that matters, but this really is where we've come to in 2020.
Well, in the end, it's going to be exactly what Chris said. This is going to end up in the courts, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's going to make its way up and eventually going to have to be decided by the Supreme Court. I'm really glad ADF is doing what it's doing. This is, if there's anything that ought to be common sense, this ought to be common sense. If you're a biological male, that's the way God made you. You're to compete against other men. Biological female, you're to compete against other women. That's the way it is supposed to be. I wish I felt totally confident in what the Supreme Court is going to do.
Yeah.
But as we saw over the weekend with the issue about the churches out in California, mm-hmm. that we don't yet have a true conservative majority on the Supreme Court. So I don't know what kind of decision we'll get when it finally percolates up that far.
Yeah, I'm with you there. For people not aware of what you refer to there, we had a 5-4 decision over the weekend. Chief Justice Roberts actually was the deciding vote, but the Supreme Court denied an emergency request from a church out in California saying it's not fair for the government to keep us from meeting and worshiping, things like that. Supreme Court, they didn't rule on the merits of the case. They just said, we're not going to take this up right now. It could pop up again at some point in the future. But as of right now, churches don't really have any legal standing to say, hey, government's not allowing me to worship, and that's not right.
Chris, I got a follow-up question on the situation in California. Was it 2 days ago on Sunday, was that when all those churches, 2,000 or 3,000 churches in California, said they were going to open up and have services anyway? Wasn't it this past weekend?
I think so, yes, sir.
Have we heard any stories, any reports?
I've not. Steve may be able to better answer that because I know he's been calling some folks about that.
In a way, the whole thing with the riots around the country is it's even pushed the coronavirus issue off the front page now.
Just like that, we weren't talking about COVID.
Yeah.
And nobody's afraid to nobody's afraid of the 6-foot rule anymore.
Right.
They clearly are not social distancing in the streets anymore. So
my pen just did an acrobatic jump there. But anyway, for those watching, that was awesome. I could never do that again. So yeah, I'm with you there with the court, and you know, people say this every election, and it's true every time. But the Supreme Court, we don't just pick a president every 4 years in November. We also pick the person that's going to decide Supreme Court justices. People have long speculated as to whether maybe Justice Ginsburg is nearing an end to her time on the high court. Justice Breyer is 81 years old. And even last week, The Hill reported some speculation that Justice Clarence Thomas may retire.
Right.
He's 71. He's been there since 91. So it won't just be liberals. It'll be conservatives that will be replaced by the person that wins most likely this November. So whether it's President Trump, Joe Biden, or somebody else, that individual will have a lot of decisions to make in the next 4 years for sure.
So let me make sure I understand this, that what the Supreme Court said, 5-4, again, Chief Justice John Roberts was mm-hmm. the deciding vote, it appears, that they are basically saying that California does have the right to limit the number of people who can go and be in a church building at one time. This was not an actual ruling where they set forth constitutional principles. They just simply deferred to the California Supreme Court. Is that how that worked out?
Well, I'm reading from Liberty Counsel. They're one of the law firms heavily involved in these kinds of arguments. And Matt Staver says the denial of the emergency relief pending appeal is not a denial on the merits of the case, meaning the argument. The decision to deny the emergency request was 5-4 with no written opinion by the majority. All that can be determined from this is that a majority did not grant the extraordinary emergency relief at this stage of litigation.
Okay.
There's a lot of legal uncertainty there.
Yes.
But they didn't say, thou shalt restrict someone's constitutional rights.
And again, my understanding was that the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, originally said no more than 10 people in a church at a time.
Right, he did, yeah.
Then he upped it to 100. This is totally arbitrary.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, he had a phase four plan.
Yeah.
And then he added or changed his plan after President Trump said, you know, church is essential.
Right.
What's weird, though, is I interviewed Brad Dacus with the Pacific Justice Institute.
Another good group.
And Brad, well, he's representing a church out there. This church in the Oakland area has a Christian school. And here's what's weird. The government says the church's Christian school can have graduation, to which the church was like, well, that's great. We'll go ahead and start having worship services. And the government said, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And they were like, what is the difference? It's in the same building.
Right.
Well, this is part of the frustration on the part of a lot of Americans. I mean, I'll speak for myself, okay? I won't speak on behalf of a lot of Americans. I'll speak on my own behalf. This is part of my frustration, is that the government and even many in the medical community don't seem to know what to say in terms of setting guidelines for the rest of the country. So all these kinds of decisions are completely arbitrary. And there's one thing that I don't think Americans like to do, and that is sacrifice for no reason. I think you get Americans right to sacrifice all day long for a good reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will do this. Yeah, we'll do that. We won't do this because it's for a good cause. But the more you tell people, you have to wear masks, you can't wear masks, 100 people here, but not 100 people there.
Right.
Most Americans kind of go, here I am speaking on behalf of most Americans again, but I think most Americans kind of go, well, I don't see why that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I know it comes at a great expense, and it takes a lot of time, and it's very stressful and frustrating. But, 10 years from now, if the Lord tarries and we have some sort of pandemic again, people, if these things go unchallenged, people will be able to point back to this time and say, well, it happened in 2020, and they did this, and we can do that too, because there was no precedent or opinion against it.
Right.
And so, 10 years from now, again, if the Lord tarries, we may see something else that's even stricter or more stricter, whichever one's grammatically correct. I've only had two cups of coffee. So.
The only encouragement in all this to me is America has decided, we were already deciding where we've had it with the lockdown.
Right.
America as a, okay, we're not supposed to speak for all Americans, Ed, but it's clear, isn't it?
Yes.
America as a nation, even before the recent troubles, had decided we've had enough of this.
Yeah.
And I think in the next few weeks, this is going to resolve itself. And I think churches at least are going to, across the country, you're going to be able to have worship services. Maybe you're going to still have to do the hand washing, which we should do anyway.
Right.
The social distancing and kids programs, it can take longer to come back.
Yeah.
But America is opening itself back up. And the recent troubles of the last few days have pushed the whole virus controversy off to the side to some degree. I think those churches in California, that's the encouragement to me. I think it's going to resolve itself in the favor of the churches anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, I don't know how it is in Kansas where you live, but if you go to a home improvement store in Northeast Mississippi on a Saturday, man, I mean, there's more people there than like Paul preached to on Mars Hill. It's
that's
like
right.
11
no,
billion
it's exactly
people
the same
there.
Way here.
Yes.
Right.
And they're not all, conservative people. I mean, people from all walks of life probably vote for this person and that organization or whatever.
And a minority are wearing a mask anyway, right?
Yeah. So. And I it's funny because in my local community, I went into a place that sells plumbing supplies and building supplies. Yep. And I just asked him, I said, how's the business been since all this started? And he said, off the charts. And I said, so a lot of people getting those the honeydew lists done, getting this built and that.
Yeah.
He said, absolutely. He said it's been off the charts. So
yeah.
I guess when you're stuck at home, you might as well get busy and do those projects you've been putting
That's
off.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris,
being
with us. We are going to take a five-minute break for news. Chris Woodward was just talking about American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. So we'll take a five-minute break for news, and when we return, Steve Jordahl will be here with more news for us. Ed Vitagliano, Ray Pritchard are your hosts today. We hope you will return and join us for more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.